الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق؟ وقال تعالى: ويوم يعض الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا، يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا. Alhamdulillah, respected elders and brothers. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness and mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us with iman. Together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity to sit for some time. And this time we'll be spending here, perhaps it can be a means of our salvation in the year. On the day of Qiyamah, before the questioning takes place, everyone will be standing, and according to the riwayat of the ahadith, the sun will be an arm's length above a person's head. So if on that day the person has shade, then perhaps it's a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with that person. And in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned there are seven types of people who will be accommodated under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day when there will be no shade besides the shade of Allah's throne. And one of them mentioned is وَشَعْبٌ نَشَأْ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. That person who spends his youth worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make dua on the very outset that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among these youths, inshaAllah. If we read the poster, the purpose and object of our coming here is simple. And it says there the challenges facing the youth. How old is a person regarded as a youth? Some people, in the context of the law of the country, will say perhaps a person between the ages of 15 and 18 or 19. Islamically, if we look in the books of hadith, obviously a person is a youth, a person who has the most energy at that time. So the hadith mentions a person who will be at the age of between 30 and 33 in Jannah, because that's the best time of his life. And some ulama mentioned up to the age of 40 is also regarded as youth, for the simple reason that once a person, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, once they reached the age of 40, that was the time they were given the command to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we look at the life of each and every person of this world, the challenges are not only for the youth, but for each and every person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Quran al-Kareem and the ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, as a yardstick to see, no matter what time we are living in, what era we are in, that we are going to be facing challenges, are we standing up to these challenges, how do we do it? So on the first of the class, I have decided Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Simple translation of it will be, that has the time not come, for those people who have iman, that each and every one of us. And this verse was revealed in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already. So that time already Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking the question, has the time not come for those people who have iman? أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That their heart now begins to submit. They humble themselves and they accept لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem, وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْخَطْءِ, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed from the truth. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that this verse was revealed regarding those believers, perhaps each and every one of us sitting here, those believers who were lacking firmness in their iman. Obviously if a person's iman is correct, his entire life will become correct. But if the iman is incorrect, then we find that the challenges that are put up against us, these are, so to say, bringing us down. So negativity comes in our life. So the same thing was in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. A person has iman, and I'm believing, and I'm doing good deeds. So a person becomes complacent, that I'm okay, I'm set, don't worry. So Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhum raised that this verse was revealed regarding such people who were becoming lazy in their practices, and who are starting to think, in our terms we say that we have iman is sufficient for our salvation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse asking that has the time not come now for a person who has iman to turn wholly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to him. And what has Allah Ta'ala revealed this Quran that we've been given by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? Each and every solution for our problems is herein. Today we'll just discuss perhaps two of them. But if we look out our lives, that all the challenges that comes up in the form of whatever it may be, inshallah we'll discuss one of them also, this WhatsApp group. Whatever challenges are there, the deen has found a way out for us. So whatever Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is revealed in the Quran, we need to accept it wholly. Just before we came down here, when I was reciting the ayah at the top there, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. Enter into Islam entirely. Not for sure, I'm going to take 1/6 of Islam or 1/5. Entire Islam must come into my life. So this is what we're going to do now. How are we going to stand up to these challenges? One of the challenges, and perhaps the greatest one, is our friends. Peer pressure. Each and every person coming here knows the condition he is when he's with a good person and with a bad person, and this is told us in the hadith as well. So we look in one verse of the Quran, the Kareem Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions, I recited this verse also, وَيَوْمَ يَعَبْدُ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. The certain verses of the Quran, the Kareem, were revealed after certain incidents took place. So in this verse, a person by the name of Uqba bin Mu'id, he was a very well-known person in Makkah al-Mukarramah, as was Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This person was also a very generous person. So what he would do is, whenever he would go on his journeys and return, then he would give a feast to a large group of people. So once when he returned, he invited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well to come and partake of this feast. He was also a prominent person in society. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and the food was presented to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told this person that I'm not going to eat your food until you testify to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person said that's not a problem and recited the shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that I am now a Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam partook of the food and this person had accepted Islam. And later on, after some time, this person had a friend by the name of Ubay bin Khalaf. And we all know, one of the arch enemies of Islam. So he came to know of this. And he went to this person, Uqba, and told him that I have heard that you have accepted Islam. So Uqba said, yes, I have accepted Islam. So Ubay told him that, you know, we are close friends. How could you do such a thing? How can you leave the religion of your forefathers? This is something we've been doing for our entire life. And he continued exhorting him to leave the deen of Islam. So this person said, no, I'm a Muslim. So then he said, he took an oath and he said, you are my friend, I will not speak to you unless and until you give up the religion of Islam. So to contextualize this in our days, a friend tells us to do something, no, that's not the right thing, I'm not going to speak to you until you do it. So a person, now what do I do? It's got to be a dilemma. The same thing, exactly the same thing happened in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Uqba says, okay, I give up Islam. His friend Ubay says, no, I don't believe you. If you are really truly what you are saying, if you are true in your statement, then you will go to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever he is in his gathering of noble friends, and you will spit on his face. So he said, no problem, I will do that. And he came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and according to various narrations, he tried to spit on the face of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the sputum was returned to his face. Anyway, this person had turned away from Islam after that, and at the end both of them died as non-Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse of the Quran. And this verse is going to be recited till the day of Qiyamah. Long after we are gone, perhaps people will recite this verse. Mentioned the story will be made of the same story as a means of a person realizing who should be his friend. So Allah ta'ala says, وَيَوْمَ يَعَبْدُ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. That on the day of Qiyamah, the oppressor, that is a disbeliever, will be eating at his hand. Nowadays when it's exam time, people say, no, I'm on my nerves, and they start biting their nails. The hadith, the Quran mentions this person will be chewing his hands. وَيَوْمَ يَعَبْدُ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. And what will he be saying on that day? يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. If only I had taken the road of the Rasul as a road for me to follow. In other words, in simple terms, if only I had stayed with the Prophet ﷺ and followed him. يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. If only I had not taken this person as a friend. This person, he is the one that has taken me away from Islam, and because of him, I'm in a situation in dilemma. And there's no turning back on the day of Qiyamah. So on this day, the people will be in this mode. But now what? There's no way out for me. What am I going to do? This person is supposed to be my friend. Someone put all your trust, your love in such a person, and at the end you find this person has betrayed you. So these two people will be having this conversation on the day of Qiyamah. And we have to take the lesson we have to take from here is, the friends that we have, on the day of Qiyamah, what's going to be our conversation with them? أَلْأَخِلْنَاهُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, close friends will become enemies on the day of Qiyamah, except those people who have this quality of taqwa. And what is taqwa? Many a time the person hears the word taqwa and becomes scared. They become the most pious person in the world. Taqwa is simple. Obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you will succeed. So on that day even close friends, people in this world who are already bosom buddies, on the day of Qiyamah also they will be separated from each other except the person who has this quality of taqwa. So the first thing we need to do is see your offender. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, you say we need to check friends, we have to choose friends. What is it that we look into a friend? What qualities do we have to find to make this person a friend? Why? Because the hadith is clear. الرجل على دين خليله. The person will follow the religion of his friend. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِبُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to each and every one of you should see whom he is friend. Because whatever a friend do, that's what you're going to be doing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the three qualities you look for a person. If you find this quality in a person, and this person is the one that's going to be your friend. And you won't have to be in that boat on the day of Qiyamah to say that this person was my friend, if only I had not taken him as a friend. So what are those qualities? مَنْ ذَكَّرَكُمْ بِاللَّهِ رُؤْيَةُ. The first quality is, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this, when you look at this person, immediately you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just looking at the person, automatically the thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to your mind. In other words, this person, the way he dresses, the way he walks, the way he talks, the sunnah is in his life. So by just looking at him, any person, perhaps he's not even his friend, but you look at this person, you're already thinking, piety, taqwa, this person is the person I should be befriending. So when I got a friend, when I look at my friend, is this the quality I see him? Then when I see him, I think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or when I see him, I think of something else. It's now to go, the masjid is this side, and the shops are this side, where do I go? So that's the first quality. مَنْ ذَكَّرَكُمْ بِاللَّهِ رُؤْيَةُ وَزَادَتْ لِعِلْمِكُمْ مَنْفِقُمْ. And when this person speaks, then my religious knowledge increases. In other words, there's no time for a nonsensical talk. Whenever this person says anything, I'm learning from him continuously. That's the second quality. And the third quality mentioned in the hadith, مَنْ ذَكَّرَكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُ. That when you look at his deeds and actions, when you look at his life, it will remind you of the hereafter. He is not a person that is hankering after this world. So you see a person performing salah, and he's reading that salah, you can see the salah, the person doesn't want to rush out of the masjid. Any action that he's doing, he's got the hereafter in front of him. So we find these three qualities we have to find in a person. If we see these qualities in a person, then know well that this is the person we should be taking as a friend. So the first thing we should be looking for is a proper friend. Once we've got the right friend, half our challenges are sorted out, because if we've got friends and something wrong is going here, they say, no, don't go there, let's go here, we'll follow them. So our company, the company we keep. The second thing that perhaps can assist us in sorting out the challenges is, if you look at the verses of the Quran and Kareem, we'll do a few now, in certain places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the condition of the disbelievers on the day of Qiyamah. That they will wish that Allah send us back to this world so we can do some good. For a believer, he is supposed to say, I've got enough good, there's no need for me to go back to this world. So just to give you a translation of a few verses which you came across, take about 5 minutes inshallah. Allah Ta'ala mentions the A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. So the time will come when death comes to the disbelievers, and what will their response be? رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. O my sustainer, return me to this world. Why? لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ كَلَّا. Send me back to this world so I can do some good deeds which I had not done at that time. And the reply will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَلَّا, this is not possible. You had your turn, it's over now, as you stand, this is how you're going to be judged. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. These are just a few words which this person will be saying. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala mentions, after this year this person will spend a certain time in the barzakh, in the qabr, until the day when Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will give life again. Now we go on the day of Qiyamah. فَإِذَا رُفِقَ فِي السُّورِ. So on the day of Qiyamah the trumpet will be blown for the second time. فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. Allah Ta'ala mentions that your family is not going to help you on that day. Your father, your mother, your brothers, sisters, anyone is not going to help you. وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. Not nor will you be given an opportunity to ask anyone for help. But at the end of the day, فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So what you need to do is you have to see that your scale is heavy. That person whose scale of good deeds is heavy, these are the people who are successful. وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنْفُسَهُمْ فِي جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ. As for those people whose scale of good deeds is light, these are the people whom Allah Ta'ala mentions, they have incurred a great loss and they will be in Jahannam forever. And what's going to be in Jahannam? تَلْفَحُ وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارُ وَهُمْ فِيهَا كَالِحُونَ. The fire of Jahannam will be scorching their faces, and it will be, in our terms, we'll say simple roasting. And then it will be said to them, and here's our lesson, on the day of Qiyamah, this should not be said to us, we should not be among this group of people, and Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَكُنْتُمْ بِهَا تُكَذِّبُونَ. Allah Ta'ala will tell them, were my verses not recited to you, yet you belied it. Someone tell you, the Quran mentions this, no worry about it. That's the olden days thing. But you deny, you fortify it. And then on the day of Qiyamah, these people will say, رَبَّنَا غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِقْوَتُنَا. Exactly what happens now. So a person is called to the office. The principal called him, why did you do something wrong? Ish, I made a mistake. Something went wrong in my life. But he can say, this word is still going to attempt to make it right. The same people will be saying, رَبَّنَا غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِقْوَتُنَا. Over time, this world, why we were there, our wretchedness got the better of us. We just done something on the score of the momentum, or the score of the moment. وَكُنَّا قَوْمًا ضَالِّينَ. In the world, we are a group that was led astray. رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْهَا فَإِنْ عُدْنَا فَإِنَّا ظَالِمُونَ. So we'll plead to Allah, Allah. Just give us one more chance. Take us out of Jahannam. And now if we do something wrong, you can put us back. Now, they're putting their case to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's put it in context now. A person goes to the Supreme Judge. And he's fighting his case. This is the last chance he's got to put his case, and perhaps he prepared his kind of best of lawyers, and he comes to the court like we will be in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's praying to Allah. He said, Allah, just give me one more chance. Let me just give me a chance to explain myself. Allah Ta'ala won't even give him that chance. Allah Ta'ala says here, فَلَفْخَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. Stay in Jahannam, and in simple terms, don't talk to me. In our terms, it's a bit vulgar, but shut up. I don't want to hear anything. The case has been solved already. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not even prepared on that day to listen to all our excuses. We are alive, Allah Ta'ala has given us a chance. Now is the time. We need to turn now to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Carry on. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِي. Perhaps you can become of this group. Allah Ta'ala says, you will go to Jahannam, you stay on this side. There was a group of people from my servants who used to say, رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. A simple dua we can learn today. That perhaps we are all sinners. Each and every one of us knows our situation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the day is just waiting for us to turn to Him. So Allah Ta'ala says to us, a group of people who used to say, رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا. Oh Allah, we have believed. And that's our situation. Each and every one of us are believers. فَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا. So forgive us. A person will ask for forgiveness when he knows he done something wrong. So he's asking Allah, I don't know, I know I done wrong. But Allah, forgive me. This is our chance we've got where we're in this world. وَرْحَمْنَا and have mercy on me. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And you are the best of those people who can show mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for these words of us. رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. So the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala can say, you said these words, you on the side. You say, these people have done something else, you on the other side. Continues. فَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُمْ سِخْرِيًّا. Allah Ta'ala will tell them, these people, when they told you believe and do good deeds, what did you do? You mocked at them. فَاتَّخَذْتُمُهُمْ سِخْرِيًا حَتَّى أَنْسَوْكُمْ ذِكْرِي. And because of that, it made you forget me. وَكُنْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ تَضْحَكُونَ. And this is the part we are talking about. Many a time you laughing at them. So we hear something in a Jummah Bayan. Alim says something. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Let's rush to do good deeds. What to tell our friends? Don't worry about that, because enough time to love. Let's do it one next year, next month, next time. But making the laughing stock, Allah Ta'ala says, you were laughing at them, now you'll see on which side of the scale you are. إِنِّي جَزَيْتُمُهُمُ الْيَوْمَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا أَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. And for those people who believe, and made this dua, رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَقْفِرْ لَنَا وَرْحَمْنَا. Allah Ta'ala says that today I will give them the recompense because of the sabr and patience they exercise. So sometimes an alim tells us something, and when he taught with something, perhaps at that moment it is something that can even take us out of the fold of Islam, but he remains quiet, so we think, no, we are right. Meanwhile, exactly what this ayat is saying, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنِّي جَزَيْتُهُمُ الْيَوْمَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. They're exercising their patience. Sometimes you don't want to tell us something direct, that this is wrong, because you're going to say, no, it's right, and you're changing the Sharia. So an alim, also any person who admonishes and gives us advice, this is the story. Perhaps if they are quiet, they are saying, does not mean, we've won the argument, that I am right, now I can do as I please. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this one example. Allah ta'ala mentions these verses of the Quran and Kareem so we can reflect, so we do not become part of these people. That on the day of Qiyamah, it mustn't be the first thing that I'm complaining that I've got the wrong type of friend. The second thing I'm complaining that I haven't done enough good deeds. This is the time now to do it while we're on the surface of the earth. And one more hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and that perhaps refers to each and every one of us, Tuba li abdin ja'alahu Allah miftahan lil khair wa miqlaqan lil shar. That great tidings for that servant of mine, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him miftahan lil khair, a key, a door of good. So any person looks at him, and automatically this person gets this urge to do something good, wa miqlaqan lil shar, and a lock for evil. He's a niche. So a person looks at this person and realizes, no, this person what he's doing is right. We should be those type of people. مِفْتَاحًا لِلْخَيْرِ وَمِغْلَاقًا لِلْشَرِ. When a person looks at us, whatever we say also, we shouldn't cut the person and say, you're going to Jahannam, finish, whatever you've done, that's a story for you, my friend. We should be giving them hope. So when it comes to a person's got a problem, he's committed a world of sins, enough. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says, Allah Ta'ala says, لَوْ بَلَغَ جُنُوبُكَ عَنَانَ السَّمَاءِ. If your sins have to reach up to the edges of the sky, ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ. And you seek my forgiveness, I will forgive you, وَلَا أُبَالِي. Don't even matter to me. So I don't care how much you do wrong. Allah Ta'ala says, the main thing is, after you're doing wrong, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah forgive us. And that's what we need. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us, we now become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah mentions in the Quran al-Karim, وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the guardian. Allah ta'ala is the guardian of those people who are pious. Again, pious is what I mentioned, a person who collapsed according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah ta'ala says, وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah ta'ala is the guardian of the pious. So how does this help us? What is the purpose of a guardian? To give you a simple example, that a person tells his child that in the holidays we are going to Durban. So the child tells everyone, we are going to Durban in the holidays. Someone will ask him, how are you going? He said, no, I'm going to Durban. My parents worry about it. Where are you going to be staying in Durban? My father is sorting everything out. What are you going to be eating there? Yes, so don't worry, I'm going to Durban. Because he knows he's got a guardian that's going to take care of everything. So anytime he's got a problem, a person says, how are you going to Durban? Go, come go to my father. Tell him we're going to Durban. Okay, we're going to Durban. So this child has got his full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his father. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our guardian, exactly the same thing happens. So one day the same boy has got a problem. He's got a box of toys that he needs to take out of the house. But this box is too big for him. And because he can't remove it, it's a major burden for him. It's the biggest problem in the world. So he starts crying and becoming hysterical that I can't do this. In our time also we see that problems. How can I save myself from WhatsApp? What are you talking? It's very impossible. How can I do that? So this boy also is in a situation. I need to get my toys outside. So he goes to his father and says, my father comes and says, guys, guy, what must I do? He says, please just take my toys out. So for a father with one hand, he says, okay, yeah, there's the toys outside. And alhamdulillah, the boy is very happy again. This boy thought he had a world of problems on his head, and the father thought it out in 1 minute. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our guardian. We've got problems. We think are the greatest problems that no one can solve. But like this guardian solved the problem of his child in 1 minute, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do exactly the same for us. So we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make Allah our friend. It is our belief that Allah is controlling everything. In Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. Nothing happens in the world without the command and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah is doing everything and Allah is on our side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things in our favor. Again we come to that word taqwa. One of the benefits of taqwa mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Allah Ta'ala mentions that that person who has taqwa, Allah will make his work easy. This is coming from the Quran al-Kareem. And it's Allah's promise. So at any time a person has difficulty, something is not going the way I want it to go, then what must he do? Check my level of taqwa. Check if I'm pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because it's a promise of Allah that if your taqwa is right, Allah is going to make everything easy for you. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Just take that one minute to reflect that, okay, I'm doing this here, it's not working out. Why is it not working out? Check my amal. Perhaps I'm not doing something right. And perhaps you come over the deep. Maybe I've been rude to my parents, I've been rude to the teacher. And on the road while I was walking, I hurt a cat or dog, some small action. But the taqwa wasn't there, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting this difficulty upon me. In the beginning I mentioned something about this WhatsApp group. Why is it so wrong? Mufti Mas'ud Nanabai, who is an ustad in the Darul Kashiful Ulum in Carltonville. I met him one day and he said, we've got problems in this world. Everyone knows Isa alayhi salam is coming. And Isa alayhi salam, according to the hadith, will come and his job will be to remove all the crosses. Number one. Number two, to kill all the pigs, all the swine. So he told me, only with all to Isa, there's another job for you. To get rid of this WhatsApp. I don't know what's the problem with WhatsApp. It can't be anything serious. So he just mentioned two simple points. He said a person is on a WhatsApp group. Many a time you just join a group, you don't know people who are on that group. And perhaps there's an alim on the group. Sometimes an elderly alim also, but obviously won't write there, Mufti Isa Badaksa Tamad Barakatuhum. He just put an initial, EB or something. And he says something. Obviously, whatever his research, a person's asking Bacha or something, is it permissible to wear gold for men, for example? So he writes, Jay, it's not permissible. Simple, plain, simple, short, no proof or anything yet. And now because I've got a gold ring, I've got a problem with that. So immediately Jay, in capitals, I write, Jay, what's your proof? By reading that capitals, I'll let you show your attitude. It's like you're standing in front of the eye and say, what's up? What's your proof? That's already showing disrespect to a person. The second thing he mentioned, he told me, he said, if you see all this WhatsApp mentioned, many a time a person gets a hadith on the WhatsApp. And it sounds so nice. Okay, this sounds like good, it's broadcast. Alhamdulillah, it's broadcasting. After a while, someone else says, a reply to the share that this hadith is fabricated and authentic. So it comes on your group. But as far as you don't send it to all the people you send to, so what happens to them? The Prophet ﷺ mentions in the hadith, مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ فِي النَّارُ مِنَ النَّارِ. So that person who falsely attributes something to me, he should prepare his abode in hell. Jahannam sounds nice. In hell. So a person, sometimes without even thinking, you know, I got to make it, send it out. And everyone is acting upon that hadith which you sent, thinking that is a hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meanwhile this is something that has been fabricated and you are spreading it out. The problem there is simple. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. That it is sufficient to classify a person as a liar if he says everything that he heard. Exactly the same here. So you get the hadith, let us send it around. Whether we know the veracity of the statement being made or not, let's just send it around. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is sufficient to make a person, in the eyes of Allah, as a liar. And perhaps lying has become such an easy thing nowadays, if you can lie, so one's got white lies. You can tell some white lies, no problem. But at the end of the day, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that lying is a major sin. And if a person continuously does major sins, ulama mentioned that this can take them out of the fold of Islam. So the WhatsApp is good and bad in it also. Let's take note of this here. Perhaps if you're giving the salah time, that's not a problem, alhamdulillah, the person will tell us that may have noticed something there. But when the hadith are being mentioned, sometimes even Quran ayat are translated wrong. And we are sending the things out. We all know about the scourge of the Shia and the Salafi at this time. Translations are being made. We are not Arabic learners of Arabic, so we just say, okay, there's a Quran ayah, yeah, let's test it out. And because perhaps of one ayah you have sent, someone has learned it, someone has read the hadith, they're practicing upon it and that's taking them further and further away from Islam. It should not be so. So what we need to know is, as far as the WhatsApp is concerned, that before a person amplifies it, you should verify it. If you are not sure someone sent you something, don't send it. Or ask him a reference. Before we amplify, let us verify. And one more thing, inshallah, alhamdulillah, regarding the hope that a person should have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I still got about 2 minutes left. I can take some of his time, alhamdulillah. So I just want to mention one narration regarding a person in the year after. See, what happens is, when a person leaves this world, you know perhaps where your grandfather's grave or your great-grandfather's grave, but 5-6 generations down the line, you know where your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather's grave. Sometimes we don't even know where the person, which country is buried. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is so much that Allah ta'ala mentions this hadith that we know that I went to the grave of my parents, perhaps my grandparents and my great-grandparents. It's only going to go 3 generations till the end of time. So a person is getting forgotten by his own family members. Where are other people going to remember him? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way Allah ta'ala deals with the believers, inshallah, we just mentioned this last hadith, and inshallah, this should be enough for a person to realize how kind, merciful, and generous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just waiting for us to turn to Him. So the narration is as follows. Wahab bin Munabbah narrates that the Prophet by the name of Sayyidina Armiya alayhi salam passed some graves. And these inmates were being punished. So after a year, he passed the graves again and found that the punishment had subsided. And he said, oh Allah, I passed these graves and its inmates were being punished. This year again I passed it and the punishment had subsided. A call came from the sky, Oh Armiya, their kafan have become torn, their head decomposed, and their grave leveled, that is having no time. I saw them in such a state and felt merciful on them, and I do the same with the inmates of those graves who have no time left, whose kafan tears apart and whose head decomposed. So long after, 200 years after you have left this world, there's no sign that they covered there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still forgives a person. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that love for a believer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this iman. Let us use it as a means of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned, let us see the friends who we choose. Let us reflect on the verses of the Quran and Kareem. So on the day of Qiyamah we can be happy to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as far as the WhatsApp is concerned, let us be careful. As I mentioned, let us verify before we amplify, inshallah. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy supersedes everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.